My next guest is a major investment advisor, frequent guest on Fox Business and CNBC, but his book is not primarily about business. It's called Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame, and How You Can Cure It. David Bahnsen, B-A-H-N-S-E-N, is the author. David Bahnsen, welcome to the Dennis Prager Show.
Dennis, it's so good to be with you.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. So I always ask authors, what's your overriding thesis in a nutshell?
Well, in this particular case, the thesis came out of my study of the financial crisis. So you kind of set the table for what I do for a living, and I became utterly obsessed as an investment portfolio manager out of the financial crisis with the causes of everything that went into that great economic recession that we suffered 10 years ago. And as a longtime student of the culture, a longtime political conservative, deeply faith-based guy, my father's deceased, but for Christian intellectual, Dr. Greg Bahnsen, he actually appeared on your show, Religion on the Line, many years ago. And so I had sort of a foundation for interpreting events more than just economically, and it, sure enough, it was utterly impossible to study the financial crisis as anything other than a cultural epidemic of the worst proportions, and embedded in the crisis was a perfect metaphor for what I think has become of the society. If one is on the left, they had a perfect narrative to blame it on corporate greed, on Wall Street, on the normal cast of characters. And if one's on the right, they had a perfect setup to blame it on the government, on bad policy, and on the Federal Reserve, you know, all those types of things. And the fact of the matter was, there's a little bit of truth in all of that, and the left or right could kind of use the facts to play into their own presuppositions about it. But the reality is that if one looks at this very honestly and with a sober mind, they have to conclude that it was an epic failure of Main Street stemming from a breakdown in individual responsibility. And that became the theme of my book.
That is fascinating. This is a very good subject because I need to be persuaded, and I'm totally open to your doing so. But I want to begin with the end. It's first and foremost a breakdown in personal responsibility. Are you referring to people, the people themselves who took out loans without the ability to really repay them?
I believe that there are two elements in which Main Street created the crisis and exacerbated the crisis. And one is those taking the loans that, recklessly, those that were taking loans that they had a very high propensity for being unable to pay. Now, of course, you can argue, oh, banks shouldn't have given them the money, and you can argue that Wall Street shouldn't have securitized the loan, and so forth and so on. But it does have to start first and foremost with a borrower doing something irresponsible. But unfortunately, it doesn't end there. I think the worst iniquity out of Main Street were people who were perfectly capable of paying and just simply chose to walk away from their responsibility. And we took a pretty severe housing correction and made it into the worst downturn since the Great Depression because of the people who were entirely willing to walk away from an obligation they had the means to pay. I go into great detail in the book to show all the statistical support for this, but I'll just share with you one number that constantly jumps out at people when I talk about it, and that's this concept.
All right, share that. Yeah, in a moment. I'm very, very interested in this. We'll be back in a moment. I'm speaking right now with David Bahnsen, who has written this book, Crisis of Responsibility, Our Cultural Addiction to Blame and How You Can Cure It. He's a major investment advisor, and he analyzed the 2008 crisis, the recession that took place in America emanating from the housing crisis. And you believe Main Street is the big culprit. more than Wall Street and more than government. In other words, you're taking on both the left and the right in their understanding of what happened in 2008. So the two culprits on Main Street, one is the borrowers who took loans that they couldn't really repay because they just wanted a bigger house. And the other is the people who just, if I understood you correctly, just stopped paying. Is that correct?
Yeah, so in the book I call the first category the reckless and the second category the gamblers. And it has a strong moral connotation as far as I'm concerned, but they were people who decided that heads they would win, tails somebody else would lose. And it put a huge exponent on how bad the drop in the economy became. Now, I should be clear, I'm not saying that Wall Street didn't have their culpability, and I certainly am not saying government policy did not. This crisis of responsibility has an awful lot of owners. What I'm saying is that the narrative that wants to portray Main Street as the victim of bad behavior of Wall Street or K Street has it wrong. That at best case, Main Street was a co-conspirator. I would argue that Wall Street.
Right, I got you.
Wrong. Okay.
Yeah, this is very, very important. People don't like to blame Americans for what Americans do. It's and I agree with you on this. This is a but I just want to understand who is the gambler. I understood the reckless. Who is the gambler?
So the person who goes and buys six condos and flips them and makes a bunch of money in 2002, 3, and 4, and then buys a bunch of condos in 2005, 6, and 7, and then they're upside down and he gives them back to the bank, there's the gambler. It was a perfect business model, wasn't it? If they make free money with borrowed leveraged funds, the profit goes to them. If they lose, they don't. Well, those stories are easy. Those stories are nobody has sympathy for someone who made money on six condos and then just, you know, cavalier gave back six. But the person who bought a home, and then the fact of the matter was they were upside down. They still had cash flow. They weren't unemployed. They were upper middle class. But they chose to walk away. They were primarily in California, Nevada, Arizona, and Florida. That's where about 58% of all foreclosures took place in four states that, lo and behold, are non-recourse. So they can't go after their other assets. They can't go after their paycheck. And the point I make is the one we were talking about right before the break was that in the savings and loan crisis, this wasn't exactly ancient history. It was 17 years before 2008. About 10% of homes were underwater, and we had a 0.01% foreclosure rate, basically a statistically meaningless one. People did not give back their homes. And yet all of a sudden, fast forward to the crisis, and you had as many as 40% of homes underwater, and from that, 50% at one point were in default. So 10%
all right,
of Americans.
You and I are both preoccupied with the moral state of our society. So why did you say 17 years earlier? Was that the framework you offered?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So do you believe, and this is not a challenge, I just want to know, do you believe that the moral state of the American people precipitously declined in 17 years?
Yes, I do, and I believe that it had been precipitously declining before, and that the culmination accelerated. In other words, my thesis, it's one I think of after years and years of listening to you, I believe you'd be very sympathetic to, is that out of the 1960s, secular humanism, that there was a sort of breakdown in the entire religious structure and moral culture. We talk so much about it in the context of the sixth and seventh commandments, what it means to life, and what it means to the marriage covenant, sexual morality, and things of that nature. But we don't talk about it in terms of the eighth, ninth, and tenth commandments, stealing, being honest in our dealings. And then the last one, which I believe to be very climactic, and that is covetousness. And covetousness was the heart of the financial crisis. both on Wall Street, Lehman had to have what Blackstone had, had to have what Merrill Lynch had, and on Main Street, Bill Jones had to have what Tom Smith had. So I consider that breakdown of morality something that has been accelerating since the 1960s, and we got to kind of measure that delta from 1991 to 2008.
Folks, you go to his book, which we've put up, and you'll see the reviews at Amazon, and you'll see that virtually every one of the colleagues that I respect has so endorsed this book. Thank you, sir. I'd like to talk to you again. David Banson.